Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Find the book of Ruth, if you would. Book of Ruth. Preaching the second message out of the book of Ruth. This morning, I want to preach on five steps in getting closer to Christ. Stand with me. Let me read just a few verses. Verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn. That means search. He's on a pilgrimage. He's looking for something. What he's doing is he's searching opportunity in the country of Moab, a Gentile nation southeast of Judah. He and his wife and his two sons. Big problem there. Someone turns their back on the known will of God. They lead their family in that same way. And the name of the man was Elimelech, means my God is king. And the name of his wife, Naomi, means beautiful. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Play on words for weakness. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. They didn't just pass through. They stayed like Lot, looking at the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Uncle Abraham, I'll go there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died and was left and her two sons. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. It's a risky thing to get out of the will of God. And the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. This begins a 10-year journey for Elimelech. He perhaps thought he was just leaving Bethlehem for just a little bit, but he ends up staying there. He sojourns there for 10 years. He continued there. 10 years out of the known will of God. 120 months away from the presence of God. Running from God. Thinking he knew better than God. And he goes to the Moabites. And his sons end up marrying Moabite women. And this truly is a wonderful story the way it ends. And I'm reminded even at the get-go how good God is to us. Even in our sinful ways. Man, I've turned my back on God again and again in my years of life, my almost 66 years. And yet God, he's right there and he's forgiving to the repentant sinner, to the sinner that agrees with God about his sin. That's repentance. That's confession. Understanding what my sin is and coming to him and asking for forgiveness. And there's God with that red carpet welcome every single time. What a God we serve, far above anything this world knows as far as any kind of leadership, any whatsoever. And he never ceases to be holy and never ceases to judge his children, those that are born again, who walk away from him. But yet if we just come back, there he is, like the father of the prodigal son, arms open wide. For 10 years, he was out of fellowship with God, and it was rough, and it was tough, and there were difficult days, and there was death in Moab, and there were tears in Moab. And know this, the way of the transgressor is hard. Sin will wear you out, and the devil gives these little trinkets and puts them in the way. But the truth is, don't you run to Moab. There's nothing there but death and tears and destruction. And some people never recover. It's a terrible picture of going to life and going to the way of sin. It's and what Naomi understands after the death of her husband, after the death of her sons, after having two daughters-in-law, and she's disillusioned. It was last Sunday morning's message. Remember, she's wandering, she's in the wilderness, she's depressed. She's delusioned in the land of Moab. It's like there's very little faith left. She feels like God has forsaken her. She's so far from home. In Moab, there's death. But in Bethlehem, there's life. In Moab, there's famine. But in Bethlehem, there's bread. Look what it says in verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard that in the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Moab, write this down. Mark this down in your heart. Don't ever forget it. When tough times come, God provides for his people. God will never let his people down. God will never turn his back on his people. So the whole countryside is in famine, but there's bread in Bethlehem. And word gets to Naomi, and she hears the word, there's bread in Bethlehem. There's bread at home. And the truth is, it's hard for her to believe. Now, let's look a little bit further into chapter 1. She's in despair. She's discouraged. Things have gone wrong. Look what it says in verse 13. She gives bad counsel to her daughters and says, go home, go to your home, the home of your fathers. Go back and worship, very words from the word of God, the gods, plural, of your fathers. Naomi is so far out of fellowship with God. She gives this bad counsel to her daughters, and one of them listens. Orpah listens, but Ruth, she doesn't. She says in verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ruth says, nothing but death is going to separate us. Man, I serve the God of your fathers. I want to be your people. I want to go to the land of your people. And they return to the land of Bethlehem. They don't recognize Naomi. She's similar, but again, sin will wear you out. You ever see somebody? I've known of people of this in my own family, uncles and cousins and that kind of thing, how they look way old before their time because they're serving the gods of this world. And they walk with stooped shoulders and unsure steps because this world has weighed them down. Again, the way of the transgressor is hard. So here's Naomi. She comes to Bethlehem. Is this Naomi? Could you possibly be Naomi? She said, you call me Mara, bitter. God's hand is against me. I said this last Sunday, and I'll get to the message now. God's hand was not against Naomi. Naomi was against God. And God doesn't allow his children to sin and enjoy life. God doesn't allow his children to sin and get away with it. I'm going to come back to that thought next week with the law of the kinsman redeemer. The blessings of God are real. So what Naomi says to her daughters is, the daughters say, we want to come with you. We want to come back. We want to come to Bethlehem with you. And she says, I can't. You can't. I can't. I can't provide for you. I have no more sons. And if I were to be married tonight, and have sons, I have a son born to me tonight, you wouldn't wait all those years for that for another son. I can't. That was a wrong message. What she should have said is, God can. And when God provides for Ruth, as we work through this passage of scripture, this book, the book of Ruth, no one is more surprised at the bountiful blessings of God upon Ruth than Naomi. It's like, wow, if I'd have just trusted God the whole time, things could be so much different. Let's go to chapter 3. Ruth does not recognize Boaz as the kinsman redeemer. And Boaz doesn't know that Ruth is of her kin. But he sees in Ruth something, and the kinsman redeemer is seeking sinners today. That'll come out next week. And he says to Ruth, he says, listen, I see you gleaning in the corners of the fields, which that was left for the little children. That was the law in Israel, left for the orphans and the widows and the little children. They could get a little bit of extra feed was left. Grains were left in the corners of the field, and that's where the poor went. And Ruth caught Boaz's eye, and he said, listen, you reap in my fields. Don't you go to any other fields. You'll be under my protection, the protection of my men. And you drink of the vessels, the water that my young men drink of. And better than that, he says down in maybe verse 14, he says, you eat at my table. You come to my household. I am going to provide for you. Oh, how good God is to the sinner, even the sinner that is not born again. God is wooing, God the Holy Spirit is wooing people to him and to redemption, to salvation from every corner of the world, every race, every people, every tribe, every tongue. God is bringing sinners to Calvary that they might be born again. He is working in their lives and he's showing them, he's revealing himself to them so that they would recognize there's the Messiah, there's the Savior, there's the hope for my soul. It's found in Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. There on Mount Calvary, he died for my sin. Just like the Bible, and they hear the word of God, and it all makes sense, and people come to Christ, and it is the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. That's a great truth. God is good to this sinner. God is good to Ruth. Ruth understands the blessings of God. She doesn't understand all that's going on yet. She doesn't even know that Boaz is her kinsman redeemer. But this is all going to come together real quick. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3. And look what it says in verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? The best thing that you can do is get close to Christ, the good shepherd, in this world of darkness. That's the best. That's where you will find rest. So here's a mother-in-law going to set up her daughter from kind of a humorous way to look at it. But that's what she said, Naomi, or she says, Ruth, I can help you find rest. It's at the feet of the kinsman redeemer. It's at the feet of Christ. It's a big, bad world out there. We read in Job last week that man that is born of woman is born unto trouble. It's everywhere. We're full of trouble and we're full of sorrow. Hey, let me say that just real quick. Nothing in this world will bring you peace. Nothing. Nothing in this world will bring you joy and happiness. Nothing. You say, I could drink a bottle of it. No, you can't. You'll get to the bottom and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. There's nothing out there for the child of God. Get close to Christ. Sit at his feet. You'll find rest for your soul. And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. It's a beautiful love story, the book of Ruth. The maiden from Moab finds the bachelor from Bethlehem. And actually, it's the other way around. It's a happily ever after story. There's heartache along the way. It wasn't happily ever after for Naomi. Certainly not for Elimelech. But it ends up being happily ever after for Ruth. Who, by the way, I won't get there this morning. She ends up, this Moabite woman ends up the great grandmother of King David in the lineage of Jesus. Boy, that's grace. That is grace. By the way, it is grace that Tim Rader is a member of the family of God. That is absolute grace. It says in verse 2, it says, and now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. So it is the time of the barley harvest. Let me explain, give you a couple words here, try not to belabor it and get on a rabbit trail. The threshing floor is a public place. It's a place, a big flat area where they throw the grains up in the air and the chaff would blow away. It was a place of work, but it was kind of like camp meeting time as well, where all the families would come together and all the landowners would come together and all the patriarchs, if you will, and all of their families, they'd come together. And although it was a time of hard work, it was a time of great rejoicing for the harvest, and they gave glory to God. And so they're out of their homes and they're there and this great threshing floor, a very public place, and they're harvesting the barley. And it's a time of hard work and sweat and yet rejoicing and a wonderful time of fellowship, I am sure. And a time of food. I read that here in this and later on in the chapter or the book of Ruth as well. And she gives her some instruction. She tells her, we have one hope in order to survive. It's going to be the Redeemer. She tells her five things. Verse 3, she says, wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. First thing she says is, wash thee. Adrian Rogers, I'm giving him all the credit for this. His first point is this: freshly cleansed. Freshly cleansed. Christianity is not a code, and it's not a cause, and it's not a creed. It's a relationship. And you want to get close to Christ, you get freshly cleansed. We could look at a lot of passages of Scripture. I'll just have you turn to James chapter 4. Let's go there. Verse 7 of chapter 4 in the book of James. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So in other words, there needs to be a cleansing in my life. If I'm going to get close to Christ, it can't be like this. Okay, she has been prepared to be the bride, to Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. She's been working hard all day, sweaty and with work clothes. Now, this is not Boaz approaching her. Jesus takes the sinner just as we are. We get that part, just as I am, I come. We don't get this part, oh, how great thou art. So in other words, to get born again, God's arms are open wide. To be close to Jesus and know the full blessings of God, now we're required to do something. Be freshly cleansed. We are cleansed by the water of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Psalm 119. We are to be cleansed by reading and studying the Word of God. And when you read the Word of God, it reads you. When you're in the Word of God, you get it all over you. Like I got the book of Ruth all over me now for about the 14th day. And maybe a little bit more than that. It's like I can't get away from it. It's on my mind all of the time. And it impacts my life. It's more than me just reading this sword of the Spirit that's quicker than any two-edged sword here on this earth. It's God taking the Word of God and changing my life and building my faith. Water to the physical body is what the Word of God is to the spiritual body. He said, she told her daughter, get clean. You're going to get close to Christ. You cleanse yourself by way of the Word of God, by way of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So there needs to be that daily cleansing, freshly cleansed. Every day I come to God, Lord, I confess my sins. God, I agree with you about my sins. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I'm already born again, already a child of God. I'm speaking to my Father now. Lord, I need fresh cleansing. What Naomi tells her daughter to do is you go down and you cleanse yourself because you're going to approach Boaz. And I want to say this one more time. It is just as I am, I come. But if you're going to worship, you need to be clean. He'll provide the cleansing water. He provides the Word of God. He provided the blood that makes atonement for our sin. He paid the price. But in my heart, I've got to, in other words, I can't come to God with dirty hands. I can't come to God and expect a fellowship with him when I stink. I can't come to God and expect a fellowship with him when I've got the sweat of the toil of sin upon my life. So I get myself every day freshly cleansed by way of the Word of God, by way of the blood of Jesus Christ, and I get clean so that I can approach him. And then she says something else. Look what it says in verse 3 as well. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee. Adrian Rogers' second point here, fragrant consecration. That's an aroma. Not only were brides anointed, but also the priest that came to God were anointed as well. That anointing is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not some physical fragrance. But listen, when you are filled with the Spirit of God and surrendered to God so that God is able to control your life, that's what the Bible calls being filled with the Spirit. That's a fragrance that's appealing to God. He goes, I like the smell of that. That's someone who is clean by way of the blood, confessed sins, approaches God, and is freshly anointed. Now, I know something about fresh smells and anointing. I'm an Old Spice man myself. I use Old Spice deodorant and Old Spice cologne because I like to coordinate my smells. I try to be that way. And there are ladies here this morning, and I know they know what perfume is all about. And when we are freshly anointed by the Holy Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, when we approach God, he welcomes us. He wants our fellowship, that fragrant consecration. Go to the book Isaiah, Isaiah in chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verses 15 through 18. And when you spread forth your hands, I'll not hide, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You have unanswered prayers in your life? You pray to God and nothing happens? It might be you have unconfessed sin. It might be you've not spent any time with God, the Holy Spirit, where he fills you with his Spirit, where you're surrendered to him. And so you're repulsive to God the Father. You're repulsive to the kinsman redeemer. And that's what God is telling Israel here in the Old Testament. I know you're praying. I'm aware of that. I haven't answered your prayers because your hands are bloody. I haven't answered your prayers because you got known sin in your life. You're not following me. Then he says in verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So he says, what you need to do is you need to be fitly clothed. Clothed with the robes of salvation, the righteousness that Christ provides. Now, I'm preaching about the inside here this morning. Let me just pause for a moment and say, God is holy. And you've heard me say this a couple of different ways over the years. I know I'm old-fashioned. I understand that. I do know, though, I understand you don't need to wear a white shirt and a tie to come and worship God. I know that, too. In fact, I've known that all along. But I figure if I'm going to be the leader and if I'm going to have some kind of special blessings from God, I'm going to do the extra. And that's what Naomi is telling Ruth to do. She says, wash yourself, anoint yourself. Wash yourself with the word of God. Be freshly cleansed. Anoint yourself. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And then be fitly clothed. You wear the garments of salvation. Like someone who's born again. I promise you that God is more holy than me. I promise you that my little pea brain idea of holiness, when I stand before God, is nothingness. He's a holy God. Now, we Baptist people, we got the externals all figured out. And I think it's proper, it's right, but don't make the externals what it's about, because that's not what it's about. It's about the heart. It is about having your sins confessed, all of them. It is about being filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit. It is about being fitly clothed. I don't dress like this every day of the week. Sometimes new people are surprised by that. They'll see me at Walmart or Meijer or somewhere, and I got blue jeans on, you know, and a t-shirt, and the t-shirt's wrinkled, and you know, maybe I was cutting grass that morning, and they're a little bit surprised. I was talking to a preacher downstate that has the New Testament Christians that we are, New Testament biblicists, fundamentalism all messed up. He was shocked that I didn't wear a suit every week or every day of the week. He was shocked, pleasantly so. And I'm thinking, man, you got us all wrong. But I do believe this. When we come to worship, we come to God. Salvation's all of grace, and he did it all. Now, when I come to him, it's me approaching him. I honor him. I don't dress for myself. It's not a fashion show. I'm not interested in impressing the guy down at the other end of the pew. I'm coming to God. I promise you, if you had an appointment with God today, you'd dress up to the max. I'm not talking about quality. I'm talking about the best you have. That would be honoring him. Naomi says to Ruth, Ruth, go cleanse yourself. You've been working hard all day. You're going to approach the Redeemer. Ruth, be filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to meet the Redeemer. Be fitly clothed. Those robes of righteousness that Christ provides. Ruth, put on the best you have. You're going to present yourself to the Redeemer. Lest you misunderstand what I'm saying, standards do not create holiness. Standards protect holiness. Just let that sink in. You don't impress God. You're not more holy because you wear certain things. God forbid that Fundamental Baptist Church would ever become people trying to outdress other people. God forbid. But may it always be people that are growing in grace and maturing and coming to worship. Naomi says, Ruth, freshly cleansed. Confess your sin. Ruth, fragrant consecration. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Ruth, fitly clothed. Get yourself presentable. You're not wearing diapers anymore. Get yourself presentable and worship God. And then be fully committed. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. We'll go back to the book of Ruth. Chapter 3. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Again, the most sacred place on earth is at the feet of the Redeemer. And there's nothing untoward, there is nothing dirty, there is nothing immoral about what is being described. This was part of the ways, the Old Testament law of Israel. This was Ruth just surrendering totally to the kinsman redeemer. And on Ruth's part, she was all in. Look at chapter 1 again. I'm almost through verses 16 and 17. I'm going to try to tie this up in a tight knot and make it right where we need to be this morning. It says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. Yeah, Ruth's all in. She's saying, I'm all yours, God. I'm all yours. I surrender totally to you. And Naomi tells Ruth, you be fully compliant. And it says in verse 5, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor, a very public place, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her do. And she finds out there's a kinsman redeemer. To make a long story short, Boaz watches out for Ruth. Chapter 2, he instructs his young men, I want you to leave extra grain. Handful on purpose, it says. God is good to us. Look at chapter 3 and verse 14. I close with this. And she lay at his feet until morning, very public place. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. He was concerned about her reputation. Also, he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. 60 pounds. That's a lot of barley. That's more than she or Naomi could possibly use. And when she shows it to her mother-in-law, Naomi, Naomi says, this is hard for Naomi to believe. And if you would, turn to Psalm 68. And I want to close with this. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. Every day of my life since I have been born again, God has blessed me. He's filled my cup to overflowing. Man, the breadth and the height and the depth of God's love in my life and God's hand of blessing upon me is... Now, I've known tragedy. We've had death. I know what an unexpected death is. I know what it is to lose a brother a couple of times over. I know what it is to lose a mom and lose a dad. I understand what difficulties are. I know sometimes it financially can get just a little bit tight, but I testify to you this morning, if I had to do it all over again, I'd get even closer to Christ because his blessings to me are over the top. Man, he takes care of me and he takes care of you. Woe be the man or woman that runs to Moab. Maybe you'll find out some things that Solomon had to find out the hard way. The way of the transgressor is hard. Ask Saul. Ask David. Ask John Mark. The way of the transgressor is hard. In Moab, there's death. In Bethlehem, there's life. In Moab, there's tears. In Bethlehem, there's joy. In Moab, there is famine. In Bethlehem, there's harvest.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.